Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight we talk about how many of our children are deprived of confidence and joy because they have learning differences that are overlooked in our educational system. Children with learning difficulties struggle to learn, and their daily struggle often robs them of confidence and joy. They don't get to experience success, even though they try their very best. And tonight we talk about how to turn feelings of frustration and failure in our children with learning difficulties into success and joy. Parents and teachers must be aware of how a child learns best and allow the child to experience success both academically and socially. Tonight, my guest is Dr. Elaine Fogel-Schneider, who is co-author with Deborah Ross Swain of Confidence and Joy, Success Strategies for Kids with Learning Difficulties. Dr. Schneider is CEO of Touch Time International and author of the best-selling 7 Strategies for Raising Calm, Inspired, and Successful Children. Dr. Schneider is a speech-language pathologist and a nationally recognized speaker, an author, and coach. It is a pleasure to welcome Dr. Elaine Fogel-Schneider to help us take charge of our lives on WDIY. Welcome, Dr. Schneider.
Thank you so much, Ellie. It's nice to be here.
Tell me, what motivated you to become interested in this topic of children with learning difficulties?
Well, this is a topic that is dear to my heart because working with children, as I have, as well as Dr. Swain has, we've seen so many children come to us for therapy or for assistance who are struggling in school, and yet we know that when we see these children, they're really very bright, and they just are having difficulty with adapting to the way that the teachers are asking them to learn. They're having difficulty reading or spelling or writing. And yet, as preschoolers, they were just happy as can be, just exploring life and exploring the world and learning without having these demands put on them. But once those demands come onto them, they begin to suffer, to have the angst of going to school. And it's just something that's dear to my heart because it's almost a tragedy because they're labeled as disruptors or wanderers or noncompliant when really they want to learn, they want to be successful. It's just that no one has understood that there's a difference in the way they're learning.
You know, could you describe what's the difference between a learning difference and what is known in the school curriculum as learning disability? What's the difference?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, what I like to say is for the difference, if we're looking at a child when they learn differently than same-age children, that it's just that it's a difference. They can be smart, and they often are very, very smart, but they have a different way of learning. Whereas a child with a learning disability is, in the United States, we have federal laws where there are 13 different eligibility classifications that when we see they're interfering with the academic performance of a child, they can get special education, get special services, things like child with autism or a child that's deaf or hard of hearing or visually impaired or has any type of specific learning disability that's impacting their education to such a severe level that we see there they can have additional educational support and programs to help them access school system and get a fair and appropriate education.
Well, I have four children, and when they were growing up, I noticed that I'm a speech therapist by training before I became a marriage and family therapist. And I noticed that one of my children, he was able to memorize everything. Whatever you told him, he knew. You gave him instructions, he followed them. He was able to listen to a story and remember every detail. However, he could not learn the visual part of reading. And I remember that we had to go into school and advocate for him, because when they gave a statewide test, which was all in print, and he couldn't read, but he could understand everything that was on the test, he just couldn't decipher it, we had to go into school and say, look, we need you to have a paraprofessional read the test to him, give him the optional answers, and he will give you the answer. And that's what we did. And that's how he succeeded. He did learn to read, went to college, but it was a slow process for him. Mm-hmm. And it was a question of development of the optical nerve situation.
Well, this is exactly the types of children that we are looking at for parents to advocate for their children, just like you had to do. And as I tell parents all the time, you know, advocacy is not for wimps. Something like advocating for your child takes a lot of strength. It takes a lot of courage, because when you're facing the school system, you're facing a system that is there to meet the needs of the laws, and that means that the children have to get tested and they have to score high on different tests. But in the meantime, a son like yours is bright. It's just that he's learning differently. And, you know, we have different ways children learn. Some are auditory learners. Some are visual learners. Some are kinesthetic. Some are combinations of all of them. And to just pigeonhole that child into one way of learning, of academia, is really missing the mark for that child. And you had enough confidence in yourself as a parent to be advocating for your child. And I always tell parents, it's almost like it's what I call the deer approach, where you're detecting, you're encouraging, you're advocating, and you're repeating. Because as you must be aware, you just don't advocate one time. It's something that you have to do consistently, and you can't really give up. You have to stay encouraged yourself for your own child.
So how does a parent, I happen to be trained and was aware, but how does a parent get to know what the child's learning differences are, if there are any?
Well, there are signs along the way. You know, you put on almost that detective hat. You feel intuitively as a parent, wait a minute, something is not right here. Probably you had that feeling with your son, that you saw how smart and bright he was, but he just wasn't learning the way other children his age were learning. So as a parent, you're looking for those signs. They're almost where they may be wandering, or they're not focused, or they seem to show some difficulty, and like your son did, with being able to, you know, decode the letters and to be able to put them into words. But if he heard it auditorily, he was doing great. So it's a matter of watching for those signs and seeing what is making my child frustrated. You know, what's giving my child angst? I have parents whose children have such a difficult time of spelling, not being able to hear the sound and then write the sound. So parents need to be looking out for these styles of learning. See what your child is interested in. See how your child is doing with other different activities. And then knowing to, you know, look for those encouraging moments where you can encourage your child to succeed at various skills that may not be reading and writing and spelling at the moment, but maybe they're really wonderful at swimming or playing soccer. You know, so many times we put such demands on these children for academics when, you know, we need to take a look at their other skills and other ways that they can feel successful and confident about themselves.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life, and my guest this evening is Dr. Elaine Vogel-Schneider, who is the co-author of Confidence and Joy, Success Strategies for Kids with Learning Differences. So we really have to be alert as parents, is what you're saying, to what we see in our children in the way they learn, because not everybody learns the same way. I mentioned that I have one son who was an auditory learner. He could, and he did not learn to read until he was about 13 or 14. He went to college, and he's very successful today. I have another son who read everything. He read everything. Oof! He was a marvel at reading, except when you asked him what it was about, he knew nothing. He's, I don't know, but he read everything. He was a visual learner, but he did not comprehend, and he had a problem with memory, you know. So if you asked him to take up the laundry or take down the laundry from his room, he would go upstairs and you wouldn't see him for a while. And then you'd say, what happened? Where's the laundry? Oh, I forgot, Mom. And you bring it down. But you have to become aware of each child's way of learning. It's not all the same, as you pointed out earlier. So how can we help our children? And how can we become aware of what they need and how to encourage them?
Well, there's some of the things are, first of all, be aware of what you're saying to your child. It's so important to know that your child is hearing what you're saying about them. How do you give them, do you say to them something like, you never get your homework right? Or do you say something like, okay, that might be a little difficult, but let's try it this way. What words are you using? Are you comparing one child to another? And I've heard this over and over again when I'm with families that I'm seeing for therapy, and it's like, why can't you be like your sister? She can sit at the table and not wiggle around, but look at you. And so it's looking at the tone of voice you're using with your child, looking at your own angst and your own difficulty, realizing that, wait a minute, you know, there's something wrong here. You may not know what, but you yourself are getting frustrated. And, you know, it's one of a parent's nightmares is to say that, you know, there's something that's not successful here. My child is having difficulty. And as your child struggles with learning, then you feel that difficulty and angst too, like, what am I going to do for them? So it's looking at how you're speaking is number one, so that you're not being robbing them of their joy and confidence. Because one of the things we see is as children start to, you know, all children want to learn, all children want to succeed, but when they get into a setting where they see that others their own age are doing something so much more easily than they are, then they start looking down at themselves and wondering what's wrong with me. And the questions start to begin at that point.
And we're going to learn more and talk more with Dr. Elaine Vogel-Schneider, author of Confidence and Joy, Success Strategies for Children and with Learning Differences, when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. And this evening we're talking with Dr. Elaine Vogel-Schneider, author of a very important book for anyone who has children, book called Confidence and Joy, Success Strategies for Kids with Learning Differences, a guide that helps in the process of detecting learning differences. And how does a parent go about detecting difficulties or learning problems?
Well, I think what we see very often is parents start to watch their child struggle in school. I think it happens when the child is first going into the school system. You may not see it when they're preschoolers because the demands aren't being made on them to be readers or writers or spellers. But once they enter the elementary school grade, then as a parent, you may begin to see that difficulty where the child is often, you know, misunderstood. They struggle in school. They are frustrated by their learning differences and their struggles, and they're even misunderstood. I have a child that worked with, and their parent, who the teachers would say that he wouldn't do his work. He seemed disorganized. He was lazy. He wasn't motivated. And he, the teacher, would make him stay in class while his classmates went out to recess because he had not finished his work. Well, it came to be seen after he had been tested and evaluated numerous times that he actually was, he qualified for the GATE or the gifted program. And yet in school, his skills he couldn't master the skills, the basic skills that his other classmates were mastering. And it's just frustrating. It robs the child of his confidence and joy. And, you know, confidence and joy is something, when we look at emotional development, psychological development, it's like air that we need to breathe to live. Without confidence and joy, we're breaking the bubble for that child where they don't think they can succeed and they don't feel like they belong with other children. So parents need to take a look and see, is this happening every day in school? What seems to be the problem? And they actually have to become detectives here to determine what's going on. Is my child just malingering and being defiant and saying, no, I won't do this work? Or are they not able to do the work because they have a different way of learning? You know, even a little girl that I know when her mom would drop her to school, and she was by now in the second grade, and the mom would drop her off at, you know, go into school, she would have an absolute meltdown. She refused to go to school. She was she just couldn't handle the stressors of knowing that when she got into the classroom, it would be the same thing over and over and over again that she wasn't succeeding at. She just could not face another day. And it wasn't until her parent realized that she was feeling this anxious, she had an anxiety disorder, that she just couldn't get into the classroom. And a very observant teacher sitting with the parent, because as a parent, you have to become the advocate for your child.
Yes.
You know your child best. You know if they are not doing the work because they're defiant or they're not doing the work that's demanded of them because they just don't know how to approach it or they can't succeed at it. And this teacher and the parents sat down together and discovered that, you know, this little girl is very responsible. She wants to do the right thing. And so the teacher actually gave her a job that required her to be there every morning, bright and early, of taking the teacher's own little girl, walking her down the corridor in the school to her own, that little kindergarten classroom. And by the teacher giving this little girl the job, the responsibility of being on time at school and walking her own daughter to the classroom, this little girl was able to get out of the car and to be able to go into the classroom every day and do her job of walking the little girl down the hall to her kindergarten room. And this was a way of breaking the pattern for this girl where she refused to get into the school and get out of the car.
Well, that's so a wonderful story, and I think that's really important. So the parent and teacher worked together to give her a sense of purpose beyond going to school. so that she felt important, and she was doing something very special and important and felt that sense of importance. Would you agree with that?
I would certainly agree with it. And that's what these children need. They need to be listened to. They need to be respected. They need to be honored for what they can offer. And even if they're different, it doesn't mean that they're stupid. It means that they're just different.
Absolutely.
And we have.
And so let's talk about activities that we can, other activities that we can help them engage in, let's say after school. I know with my boys, we involved everyone in swimming, and they became part of the swimming team in one of the local colleges. And that was important because they were both good swimmers. Do you advise other things of such as that, engaging them in different activities?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely, Ellie. That is such an important part of growing up and being accepted by their peers, having activities that they look forward to going to, that they are successful at. Not everybody, is going to be succeeding at becoming mathematicians or scientists, but having a well-rounded experience of growing up where they can feel comfortable and have fun and succeed. So, yes, swimming lessons or looking at gymnastics or soccer, any of the sports activities. Or maybe there is an art making, an art class where your child can excel at art or music. Where they can, just play their heart's content and succeed at some other ways of activities, of joining in with other groups, camps and religious groups and whatever you see. I always tell parents, be on the lookout. See what excites your child. What do they like to go to? What can't they wait to the next day where they can, go swimming or join in the gymnastics class? And take a look at those activities and put your children in them. They need to be children. They need to feel successful and have ways of joining in and feeling that they belong.
Which compensates for any other feeling that they might have with their academics.
Absolutely.
So they can feel like a whole person, a person maybe with a difficulty, but recognize that they have other strengths and other abilities, and so that they can get through whatever the difficulty is.
Absolutely. We don't want to rob these children of their confidence and their joy, of their happiness. But we can see it happening all the time. When, they're given these cliches, like I've told you 100 times, or you're being lazy, or, you just don't want to do it. That robs a child of their joy and their confidence. And, just not having success is another robber for confidence and joy. So certainly ways that they can feel successful, ways that they can have that joy brought into their lives, this is so critical for, becoming a happy adult, because if you're not confident and not happy as a child, you're not going to become a confident and a happy adult either.
So what you're pointing out is whether a child may have an academic difficulty, or maybe a difficulty in math or science or spelling. What you're saying is that we need to provide outlets for our children to find ways to honor themselves and be proud of themselves and be feeling of confidence, whether they're encouraged to participate in a music or learn a musical instrument or participate in swimming or some activity that gives them a sense of joy and confidence. That's what you're promoting. Is that accurate?
That is very true. That is exactly what Dr. Swain and myself are advocating, and that's why we wrote this book. Because we, being in the field between the two of us over 70 years and such, we know that children are coming to our offices. Parents are telling us that their child is lacking in confidence. They're lacking in any type of joy. They're frustrated by what happens in the school setting. They know their child is smart. They know their child can learn. It's just that they're not doing well in the academic situation. And we're not saying that it is, you know, we're not putting any blame or pointing our fingers anywhere. We're just knowing that children learn differently and that we need to know that their success makes them feel confident and joyful. And the anxiety is really a confidence and joy robber when they're so anxious and not feeling worthy. And by giving them opportunities where they can shine, whether it's, you know, getting a goal into a net in a soccer game, or whether it's playing beautiful music as part of a choir, any of these things can help the child gain their confidence, gain their joy, and make them feel successful. And that's what we're promoting here. We want children to know that they are worthy, that they are competent, and that just because they may not be able to read at this moment doesn't mean they're never going to be able to read, just like your own son. And this is challenging for families. This is not easy because every day the child has to go to school. And it's not like an adult who can say, oh, I'm going to stay home today, or okay, I'll change where I'm going. I don't do well over there, so I'm going to go, you know, and I'll go to a movie because I'm not doing well in that social group. I'll go and do this with the other social group. Parents, adults have a choice when they're adults, but children don't get that choice. They have to go to school, and they have to be there every day.
Would you tell people your website and how they can contact you?
Yes, the website is confidencejoy.com, and you'll be able to find information about our book there and information about how you can get in touch with us if you have any questions or want more information. And my website also is Dr. Elaine at AskDrElaine.com. If you have any email that you'd like to send me, feel free to contact me that way.
Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.